Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. This is episode 1698 of the 49ers Rush Podcast, and today is a big day. The 49ers had their second installment of joint practices against the Chargers down in Los Angeles. I was not present, but it was pretty awesome because the Chargers do not put the stipulations on practice like the 49ers do, so we have a plethora, if you will, El Guapo, of clips. And now most of the clips are coming from Chargers, you know, fans, beat writers, you know, writers. So definitely major Chargers slant on it. And the majority of those clips were on the 49ers defense versus the Chargers offense. So that's going to be kind of the side that goes out. 49ers beat writers were there. Not very many clips at all came out from them. But they kind of operate under the 49ers rules, so it's a little bit different. Now, having said all those things, there is good, there is bad, a lot of both, to be honest with you, that we're going to be going over today. So a lot of installments. I have a ridiculous amount of notes that I want to get through. And on top of that, we're going to continue to expand the 49ers Rush community. We did our free Jerry Rice tier giveaway membership to the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. Links in the description of the video last week. Well, one of our Patreon subscribers caught wind and said, man, that's a really cool idea. Want to do it again. And so we will be giving away another year-long free to you subscription to the 49ersrush.com, where we break down every offense, defense, special teams play through the coaches tape, the all 22. We have Zoom hangouts monthly, which have to announce that one. Our next Zoom hangout will be Saturday, August 29th at 2 p.m. Now, we usually don't do Saturday hangouts, but the NFL pushed up their 53-man cut-down date. And we've done this for like 5 years in a row now, where we get together on Zoom and we go through and we make our 53-man roster. So Sunday, August 30th at 3 p.m. is now the NFL cut-down date, where you go from 91 to 53. So we're going to get together Saturday right before that and come up with our 53-man roster. We'll see how we do. We usually do pretty well. There's always one to two kind of, you know, major question marks that we missed, or Shanahan deals that he does with the vets, or injuries that he uses to keep back into the roster players. So our next Zoom hangout, that's Jerry Rice tier and up, get to do that. Now, if you sign up for the Frank Gore tier and above, then you get all of the breakdowns. But if you want the betting and the Zoom hangout, Jerry Rice tiers were that. So at the end of today's episode, we're going to be giving away a year-long subscription. Won't cost you anything. And the person that sponsored this giveaway wished to remain anonymous, but this is what they said. Now, given this is somebody that lives outside of California, so it makes a little bit more sense here. This is what they said. Being part of the Rush family means the world to me. It's all I've ever wanted since I was 6 years old, and it's better than I could have imagined. I just want that for someone else. End quote. How badass is that? Come be a part of the community. Get to know people, build those relationships, and learn. Watch the tape, get educated. Way cheaper than signing up for it on NFL Plus or whatever else. And you get the betting advice each week, and you get the community, the Zoom hangouts, all that stuff. So check out for that. We will be doing that at the conclusion of today's episode. So stick with us. Love all the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew coming in clutch. Look at this, Michael, finally catching the live show. We're glad you're here, man. We are glad you're here. We got a whole bunch of injury talk. What's up, Kenneth? Man, I saw that the move is done. Glad that you're in the spot. Kids start the new school. I love it. I love it. Congratulations. Now, oh, look at this. The Striking Gold Podcast, Rob Lauder. Hat tip, my friend. It was awesome catching you and Kyle Posey the other day. You guys crushing it as always. Everybody go check out the Striking Gold podcast if you haven't yet. It's on YouTube now. Big time. I love it. Dude, nobody better than Rob Lauder. He's the best, dude. Oh, wow. Not putting that one up. Love all the hashtag CCs. Now, let's just talk a little bit about some transactions and some injuries, okay? Lots of fluidity as Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch at the back end of training camp preseason, they like to cycle the back end of the roster to try to expand the amount of players that they feel they can claim off waivers in a given moment to help the team out if injuries stack at a certain position, whatever else. So three new additions, two of them back. Evan Anderson was added, the defensive tackle. I'm a big Evan Anderson fan. I don't think there's a lot of defensive tackles in this 49ers defensive tackle room that play like Evan. You know, he's a space eater guy. Defensive end Victor Dimekaji, which you go back 9 years now, he was one of my favorite players. I think it was Wake Forest. I really, really liked him back in the day. And then Nick Sakel's back. What is dead may never die. The Theon Greyjoy of 49ers players. He just, that dude keeps coming back, man. It's just what it is. Now, the 49ers, in order to make space for those three players, released defensive lineman Titus Leon. He was injured, so that's a waived injury settlement. Offensive lineman Keon Smith. And running back Khalil Herbert, who I thought actually played all three of the running backs that played the first preseason game were kind of on par with each other, but I thought Khalil Herbert played the best. If you don't fit the Shanahan mold and have that upside, he just kind of moves on. And I said this yesterday as soon as that news came out, that, man, the good news about releasing Khalil Herbert and not adding a running back means one of the young bucks is about to come back, Jordan James or Kalon Black. Well, today, guess what? Kalon Black is back at practice, went through all the team, had a couple big runs. We'll talk a little bit about that as we go through our practice notes. We've got a lot of those, a lot of practice notes today. What's up, Notorious? Appreciate you, man. Should we be hitting the panic button after today's practice? No. Couple things. Was it a good practice? Brock Purdy said, quote, if I say quote, I've got to go down to make sure I say it correct. Brock said, quote, honestly, don't think it was our best day, end quote, on today. So deal with that what you will. Now, joint practices are basically scrimmage settings where you don't really even thud up too much. You try to run behind. You negotiate terms, almost like a battle. Are we thudding up today? Are we running through thud? Are we thud? Are we wrapping up? Are we just pursuit angles, touching hip? What are we doing? Looked like they were kind of touching hips pretty much. Like, so they lowered the contact down pretty much. Nobody went to the ground, whatever else. So a little bit light. Definitely the Chargers seem to have the better day. No, I mean, Justin Herbert just destroyed the safeties, and we'll talk about that. Number 27 just got torched time and time and time and time and time again. I saw at least 7 negative clips where 27 just got destroyed in the run game. It's funny because I say nobody like thudded up. Omarion Hampton buried number 27 on a run play just right up the A-gap. 27 came down like he does in games. Soft, not looking for contact, and Omarion Hampton just ran right through his face. Lifted him up off the ground fully. One of the worst truck plays you'll ever see in the NFL, and it was in a scrimmage. Like, tells you a lot. Justin Herbert lit up the safeties in the pass game. Wide receivers lit up our corners deep and in the red zone. Ladd McConkey basically had free run. Not a lot of positives. Really, really not. Couple interceptions from the 49ers offense. But it was similar to this last year against the Broncos. And then they go out in the preseason game and the 49ers handle their business. Bad days happen. That's just what it is. It's a bad day. And going from the Titans to the Chargers, that is a monumental jump. The Chargers have a great roster and amazing coaching staff. I would not say that about the Titans. They are a rebuilding team. I'm a little out. Robert Saleh as a head coach, cool. All right. Gus Bradley as a DC, all right. Talk about their offensive coordinator, the bald man. I'm not the biggest fan of that either. Cam Ward was the worst quarterback in the preseason so far of any quarterback that's taken preseason snaps. He's dead last. Like, now you're playing Justin Herbert. You're playing Harbaugh. You're playing McDaniel. Pretty different type of expectation. So, yeah, pump the brakes. A joint practice does not make the season. And especially whatever you're looking at, Nick Bosa's not playing, Christian McCaffrey's not playing. You saw just a couple snaps from Trent Williams, couple snaps from Mike Evans. A lot of your studs, all-stars are not out there. A little bit different. Now, injuries, I want to go through this because it's a lot. Christian McCaffrey. Kyle Shanahan said, you know, if this was game week, he would have practiced today. You have to always take Kyle in injuries with salt. Like, Kyle is a liar whenever it comes to injuries. Remember, 2 years ago, when Christian McCaffrey didn't play the first 9 games, said, yeah, Christian McCaffrey might suit up. He might start week 1. And then 9 weeks, nothing. But it is a little bit different because we've seen CMC throughout the majority of training camp this year, and he's looked really, really explosive. We saw him doing warm-ups last week. The contract stuff, I think, is total BS. Florio's 0 for 1,000 on any type of breaking 49ers news. Unless it's contract details, Florio has no access to the Niners at all. That dude hates the 49ers and is literally 0 for whatever. Chris Sims, I'm a Longhorn. That dude's no. Just absolutely not. Anyway, so and then they even put out there that Christian McCaffrey is going to be taking part in the team's next practice. So you now get the day off in anticipation. You'll do like walkthrough. You have the game Thursday, probably no practice Friday, and then Saturday practice again. So the expectation is Christian McCaffrey's out there doing something, probably in pads, going through warmups. That's about it. Maybe some individual work. Now, biggest negative injury news. This is not breaking news if you've been watching the 49ers Rush podcast. Mikael Williams, the first-round pick from last season, is further away than the other guys. Referencing George Kittle, referencing Nick Bosa, referencing Christian McCaffrey. But obviously, his ACL took place 6 weeks after Nick Bosa. Not that, like, this is not breaking news. But for Kyle to say, yeah, he's further away from those guys. Then he said, quote, week 1 would be a long shot, but we haven't ruled it out yet. Week 1 ain't happening, folks. It probably going to stay on the pup. Give them that extra month. Allow the 49ers have that extra roster spot. Because because Mikael Williams started on the pup, he doesn't count as a 53-man roster spot. You'd have to use an IR designated to return to get off the pup after 4 weeks missed. But that's about where he should be. That's about where he should be. Now, also probably main negative, Christian Kirk. Kyle Shanahan was asked about Christian Kirk. And he said, you know, Christian Kirk, his you know, calf strain, he had the same things happen in OTAs, and he didn't even get through the very first practice. He didn't even get to team. He said, Christian Kirk just hasn't practiced. Says, quote, we love the guy, but you got to hope he gets some reps. You ain't making the roster if you don't ever get reps. And here we are. 10 days away from cutdown date? That's about where we are. I don't know. Christian Kirk making this roster looks like an outside shot. Maybe cut and bring back. But the days of Christian Kirk making this roster, dude, has it finished the practice? Very similar to what happened to Jacob Cowing last offseason. Like, I don't know. I don't know on Christian Kirk. I really don't. Now, positive news, Kalen Black back in practice. That is huge. Mayoko said it was a very active day for Black. Barrow said a couple big runs early. Barrow's put out the clip after, probably about an hour after practice ended. And I looked at the clip and I was like, dude, that might have been 4 or 5 yards. Like, Derwin James ran behind him, tagged his hip, and it looks like, oh, wow, yeah, he kept running. He ran in 30 yards. Like, Derwin James makes that play 9 out of 10 times. Maybe Kalen Black trucks him like Omarion Hampton does to Jair Brown, but I don't think that's ever happened to Derwin James in his life, let alone from a third-round rookie. That wasn't going to happen. But looked good, looked the part. It's awesome for Kalen Black to get any type of reps at this stage because he just hasn't played. He's a 25-year-old rookie. You got to get out there and get reps. Missed way too much time. He had a chance. Now he's back. That's huge. I expect him to play a lot this Thursday game. It's going to be Kalen Black watch. He's got a lot to prove. Lot to prove. Keon White back at practice. That's huge. He's going to be a starter as long as Mikael Williams is out. So, you know, I project the defensive end starters week 1 to be Nick Bosa and Keon White. Awesome that he's back. I'm kind of shocked that wasn't talked about much. Keon White will be the starter until Mikael Williams returns. It shows he could be kind of at that spot, but huge positive news today. DeMarcus Robinson back after sitting out for one day. Still no Curtis Rourke. Dominique Pooney and George Kittle were seen in the weight room, not necessarily lifting weights. Don't know what they were doing there next to practice, but that is huge for Dominique Pooney because that means the protocol, he's moving along. The fact that he traveled with the team, he's in the concussion protocol. He's with the team. He's outside. He's, you know, doing things. That is huge. So the light sensitivity, you're past that stage, all that stuff. So huge positive. Dominique Pooney, it just would lead to, deduction-wise, he's progressing through the concussion protocol. That's huge. And he's got several weeks until week one. I doubt you see him in this preseason or the next preseason game. Now, Mike Evans, out in practice, doing team, looked great through warm-ups, great through the first part of team, but halfway through practice, he's on the sideline. There were reports. Nick Wagner said he was taping his ankle. Mayoko said he was taking his quad, icing his quad. Regardless, we have videos and photographs of him hanging out with Trent Williams on the sideline during practice, chopping it up, smiling, whatever else. So no cause of alarm there. It's just tightness, whatever else you want to see. So that is the quick gauntlet running through all of the just real quick injuries, positive and negatives. Those are there. Now, let's get to the practice report, the clips from the practice report, the good, the bad, the ugly. There's a lot more bad and ugly than good. And it's funny because, like, if you're a madman or woman and you bet preseason football, the 49ers are favored against the Chargers only by half a point. But if you bet at any time, anywhere this year, you know who you got to use. Football is back, ladies and gentlemen. And whether you've been betting for years or you're just looking to get into the action for the first time, MyBookie is where I'm playing. I'll be sharing some of the spots that we're on. And if you want to follow along with us betting every single week, weekly, season long, you name it, we post those at the 49ersrush.com. Every single bet we do and on our Patreon channel, the 49ers Rush podcast. So, and that's the thing, you get a pick with my bookie, whether you just want to jump in, you want to bet props, you want to bet over under, you want to bet who wins outright, MVP, whatever sport, college football, NFL, doesn't matter. It is up on my bookie and they are ready to help you guys out. So if you're new to the club, here's what we're going to do. We're setting up a safety net. You get a bet back bonus. Your very first bet from $50 all the way up to $500. If you lose, you get it right back, plus a $25 casino credit. So sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers, 49ERS. Opt into our bet back bonus and take your first shot with a safety net. Football's finally here. Get in now and cash in with MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere. I bet in California, Texas, doesn't matter where you are. You can use MyBookie. Let's go. Let's go. I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is, it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Ooh, couple awesome comments right here from Michael. Most of Christian Kirk's contract is guaranteed. He signed, you know, his cap number is $3 million. His guaranteed salary is $1.6 million. They did a per game roster bonus of $170,000. Now, Kirk took less to come here. Could have got paid more. But that roster bonus is pretty big for a back end of the roster, you know, wide receiver. Only $1.6 million guaranteed. That is not huge. The guarantees were that roster bonus, that was huge. That was going to kind of help bump him up to that spot. But, man, you could cut him and bring him back. And cut him, put him on the practice squad, bring him back. He's a vet. He's not subject to waivers. It's not the largest, you know, hurt or clip. If you cut him, now he could be pissed off and go sign somewhere else. That's his prerogative. But, yeah, you can just tell him, like, Christian, man, like, you haven't practiced. We're going to waive you just so we can keep that spot. We'd like to bring you back on the practice squad. When you're back practicing for a week or two, we elevate you and put you back on. We'll replace your per-game roster bonus, add a little gravy on top. Man, looking at the contract now, not too bad. Pretty easy to move off of Christian Kirk, bring him back, and you get to have that meeting. You get to sit down with him and say, hey, man, this is what we want to do. We're going to cut you, but we want you here. You just haven't practiced. We're tight on numbers at a couple positions, so we're going to cut you, immediately sign you back to the practice squad. We'll bump up your in-game roster bonus, and we promise to elevate you after 2 weeks of full practices hitting your GPS. Shanahan's the legend at this. Look at Willie Snead. He's done it with so many wide receivers. There's way more that are, you know, off the Malik Turner. He's done it with several times. Like, there is a precedent for that. So I think that's important. I do think that's important. Oh, man, look at this. Tracy watching from Korea. Man, that is incredible. Dr. J says, greets from Germany. And we got Notorious. Yeah, it's been murky and Wells today. OTA's been a lot cooler today, which is nice and lurky. I love that, man. And then right here from LX Plex. First pod I've caught in a couple years now. Welcome to the live community, the hashtag CCs. Love you guys. Man, it's awesome. And I appreciate you. What's up, colleague, man? Appreciate you guys. Just coming in from wherever. Just bunch of studs. Studs and studettes. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. Let's get to the practice report. Now, Victor Fur puts out a quote. He was the first one to put this out. It does a damn good job. I'm so thankful the Niners were able to add him to the beat report. The Niners fans are spoiled. You're spoiled, by the way. Congratulations. That is a wonderful thing. And I hope you get more spoiled. I wish there were more Niner content creators, because you can pick something from almost all of them. Vic Tafur puts out just a tweet saying, Justin Herbert and his receivers putting on a show against the 49ers defense. Big step up in competition going from Cam Ward and the Titans last week. That gets exploded. And I hate, like, the aggregators. I don't mind aggregators, but, like, at least attribute. Vic's working his ass off out there. I haven't even met Vic, but, like, people just copy and paste his tweet and put it out there as if it's their own. I hate that, man. That bothers the hell out of me. Anyway, whatever. Oh, look at this. Richard, he says he's watching from Leeds, England. Gosh, I freaking love it. That's right. Worldwide, baby. I love it. I love everybody watching and listening from wherever. It doesn't matter, but I understand it's a little difficult now, maybe not with YouTube and all those things, but anyway, deal with that what you will. So Jason Delgado, who was there at camp, I don't know who this person is, but he put out maybe 40, maybe 30 practice clips. Now, not the best angle, as you're not going to get from practice, because you're not getting the all 22 down angle view, and it's a mess. And sometimes you can't see the player. Sometimes you can, whatever else. That's right. That's right, Farscape. Prestige Worldwide, wide. Boats is hoes. Now, very first clip goes out. Huge, deep touchdown pass on a post route. Jair Brown just toasted deep, man. By about 6-7 yards. Wide receiver got behind him. And again, all this from Jason Delgado. I'll mention if somebody else put a clip out there. And, like, now there would have been a sack. Like, Osa probably could have had a sack on this play. But you don't touch the quarterbacks. It's a joint practice. So, like, you can discount this play all you want. And like, it's so funny. As a coach, D-line coach, linebackers coach, I've coached O-line, I've coached receivers, I've coached DBs, I've coached a lot of spots, guys. Like, I don't give a shit. if it would have been a sack. You're the deep post safety in a cover three. Get your ass deep, no, deeper than the deepest. This dude got toasted by like 6-7 yards. It's the same reason why Marquise Siegel got benched last year and Kyle Shanahan called him out. Can't be that middle safety and get beat on a post. Dude got toasted, man. Toasted. And all the comments would have been a sack. Who cares? Sack, sack, sack. Like, dude, no, that is not the way the coaching world works. There is like, no. And the funniest thing about the clip is D'Amador Lenore turns and just looks at number 27. It's just like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing? This is so simple. You're the middle, deep third safety. What are you doing? It's not just that play. Now, I'm going in the order of the clips that Jason Delgado posted. Yeah, awesome job. There's a clip of Ephesians Prysock getting beat on a double move. He bit on the flat, gets toasted. Stroman out of position as well. Possible sack on this play by Romello Height, 94. He was celebrating like he would have got there. But again, you can't get beat on double moves in a cover three. You just cannot. And Prysock did big time. Also, another clip of Ephesians jumping inside on an outside stretch play. And, you know, just the running back gave him the dead leg. Ephesian Prysock shot inside and then right outside. Very similar. We've had cornerbacks do that a lot, but it would have been a huge gain. Like, your job is outside contain. You got to turn it in. And don't try to be over-aggressive and make the play on the inside. Can't do that. You got to stay outside. So a couple big negatives. One of them would have been a touchdown. The other one probably would have been a 25-yard run, both on the rookie. Don't like to see that. Upton Stout got beat on a skinny post, he was playing outside leverage the whole time. 27 was so far out of position, it's kind of hard to guess what the coverage was. Like, I've never seen Upton get beat on a skinny post like that. Now, Ladd McConkey is one of one, drafted after Ricky Pearsall. Would throw that in there if you really want to feel salty. But it's hard to tell what the coverage was because Jair Brown's so far out of position if he was middle third. But it's like, why is Upton playing outside leverage? Because we almost always have our corners inside leverage. There's no way it was man. Kind of a weird, was it a cover one under? Didn't look like man. But that's either horrible by Upton or horrible by Jair Brown. Dre Greenlaw, awesome B-gap fill for no gain. Grayson got washed down. Grayson Halton did. Wait, like, he was, you know, in the B-gap. He got washed to opposite A-gap. Dre Greenlaw flowed over the top of him. I don't think it was a stunt move or anything. Just awesome play from Dre Greenlaw. Would have been no gain. Quentin Johnson beat Renardo Green deep for a touchdown. I mean, super deep. This is like a 65-yard freaking pass. It was crazy. Guess who was the safety to that side? Number 27, no help at all. And then the run play. Like, the Chargers, and this is not the first time. Like, in my old place, I don't have the setup now. Like, I had this little, like, cheap treadmill that I kept in my, like, living room behind the couch. And I just walk it every morning and watch, you know, tape or whatever on my TV. And after I watched so much of the season, I started looking up opposing teams' highlights against the 49ers to see, like, the weekly highlights the team puts out there. And there was about a month straight where about every other play of the opposing team's offensive highlights were all against number 27, Jair Brown. Like, he's just big play machine for the opposing team. If the Chargers put out any clips like the 49ers always do from practice, like, oh, we're balling at camp, 27 is going to be in every damn one of them. Or Mario and Hampton just buried Jair Brown. Like, dude, there's just a few players that are 7-on-7 football players. They're not NFL football players whenever it comes to violence. Jordan Watkins is one of those. Akella Witherspoon's those. Ambry Thomas is those. Jair Brown's one of those. Just, dude, this ain't for you. This is not your thing. Now, I'm open Jair Brown takes steps up. And the 49ers are putting him out there as if he's a leader and breaking down the team. And he's on social media blasting people, whatever else. I hope he takes those steps. This practice was the biggest indictment against 27 as I've seen in a long time, man. And I'm not a Jair Brown guy. Never have been. Like, I liked it when they drafted him. I thought he was awesome his rookie year. I remember talking about, man, Pro Bowls in the future. And then you're like, well, maybe it's just the defensive coordinators. That's what Jair will tell you. He'll tell anybody that listens how much he hates his old coaches and it's their fault he wasn't successful. Well, dude, you have Raheem Morris, who's a safety specialist his entire damn career. You have Jerry Gray, who was a safety specialist his entire career and whenever he played. The dude's in the freaking College Football Hall of Fame, for crying out loud. And he's like, oh, this year, oh, it's everything. It's so easy and blah, blah, blah. You just got toasted like 7 times. Run game, pass game, don't matter. Very quick to tell who the problem is. Accountability is not there. And people like 27 sucks, man. I don't know what to say. Ball skills are his thing. And this is a little more negative than we usually go. And it is just, you know, it's a joint practice. So you're not trying to jump to conclusions. But I'm not done with the negative 27 plays just from today. I want to see how he responds. Because guess what? Starters are going to play. And he is a starter. It shouldn't be. But the 49ers don't care about safety. Everybody talking about left guard. I am way less concerned about left guard. Connor Colby at the left guard spot, I can sleep at night. 27 at the safety, I cannot. Not 1 year, not 2 years. This is the start of year 3 of just horrible, inconsistent play. Connor Colby started 7 games last year and was not consistent. What Connor Colby did in the preseason game was better than Jair Brown has done in the past 2.5 seasons, and it's not close. It's not close. Now, ball skills can help you overlook a lot because he does have those. And Jair Brown will get interceptions. But giving up this many touchdowns, it's not like you're just giving up touchdowns. You are not in the frame. Your own teammates staring you down. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, what would you say you do here? Well, I take the reports from the customers to the engineers. Do you take them? Well, not exactly. My assistant does. Like, I don't know, man. And I just cannot believe they haven't added anybody. They just haven't added anybody. You drafted Marquise Brown last year to play alongside of him. The safety is the biggest issue, and it's not close. It's not left guard. Left guard is an issue. I'm not saying Connor Colby's amazing. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying if you're asking me who do I have more trust in, number 75, Connor Colby, or 27, it ain't close. I got more faith in Robert Jones than I do number 27. No faith. I don't have it. I do not have them. Shoot, Tobias, you ain't wrong, bro. You ain't wrong. He says, what is it with number 27 jersey and players John can't stand? Like, Dante Johnson, I loved. I hated him as an outside corner late in his career, and they kept putting him there. That, like, I want Dante Johnson to coach the 49ers. Like, I love that dude. They just kept putting him in positions he could not be successful. He just couldn't be. Loved him on special teams, loved his attitude, loved – he just was not an outside corner year 12, 13, 14, and they kept putting him out there. And so that's whenever I started doing the whole I'm going to call him 27 and not his name because I don't want to draw negative attention to these guys. That's not what we are about here, but it's just like, damn, man. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, let's take a break. Oh, anyway, he's going to start coming for me anyway. Maria, injuries happen on both sides of the field. Now, understand this practice took place down at the Bolt facilities down in El Segundo, right by Hermosa Beach, one of my favorite places in the world. This was not by the substation. Injuries happen to both teams. Way more injuries happen today to the Chargers than they did the 49ers. Maria, yeah, center Tyler Biadasz carted off. Sebastian Valdez not having the best camp. A lot of splash plays, gets picked up, forklift, and thrown like the freaking, like Neo in the Matrix fighting Mr. Anderson in the subway fight. Like literally picked up and thrown. You're not supposed to be on the ground in these joint practices, but this dude literally got power cleaned into the knee of his opposing player. Tyler Biadasz carted off. Their offensive line, the Chargers, the past decade, way before even, you know, Harbaugh got there, that offensive line has just stayed injured. And it starts with, again, this time, Quentin Johnson. He left very similar to Mike Evans, where they ice him up, but he stayed on the sidelines chopping it. He even did press conference after, so he was banged up. But that's what teams do. And Kyle Kennard, who, you know, South Carolina, we liked him coming out of the draft, banged up as well. But, like, this is what teams do in these joint practices, preseason, whatever. If anything happens to a starter, you're done. So, like, people flipping out because Mike Evans, you know, finished half the practice and put ice on his legs. Like, dude, every team does this. Every team does it. If there's an issue, dude, you're done. We're not pushing through things. We're not trying to win joint practices. That's not what we're doing. So the Tyler Biadasz injury, that looks to be, could possibly be season ending. And I hope that it doesn't. And you're just seeing injuries mount up across the NFL. And again, for those of you that are just like, golly, the 49ers are the most injured team. Nope, not even the most injured team in their division. The Cardinals have lost their first four draft picks, two of which probably for the season. The other two are kind of nagging injuries. But if you look at the 49ers injury report, which, yeah, at one point there were 22 players on it not practicing, only one of them is long-term. Only one. And that was Ricky Pearsall, and that was from last year. Vidarian Lowe, ankle sprain. High ankle sprain, he's going to miss some time. Christian Kirk, we've talked about this one. None of those, knock on wood, it continues, but like the 49ers are no longer like even in the top five of injuries for training camp in this whatever preseason. They're not even probably top 10, if I'm going to be real with you. Like, it's weird to say. I'm not going to say the Niners are healthy, but they are not in their current state one of the most injured teams in the NFL. Believe it or not, yeah, I'm sure somebody's gonna give me Celebrity Jeopardy. Yeah, anal bum covers. Yeah, we'll take it. But it's crazy to put it that way. I love it. The Taurus, I know kung fu. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, one of the greatest lines delivered ever. I love the Matrix. All right, let's get back to some more clips. Yeah, right here. Ladd McConkey, he's unbelievable. Beat Jack Jones for a touchdown in the red zone on a corner route. Jack Jones was all over him. Just Ladd McConkey. And then the very next play, Ladd McConkey wins on the inside. A scramble play, you know, kind of broken down play in red zone drill, and Justin Herbert's running around. Jack Jones on him, sticky coverage. Still got the touchdown. Contested coverage, he comes down with it. Like, Jack Jones playing some good ball, but Ladd McConkey. Fred Warner got a peanut punch force fumble out in the flats. Jack Jones recovered that one. A lot of good tape from Jack Jones. He got injured in the preseason game, didn't miss a practice. He's out there playing. He's not a starter, but he's kind of first off the bench, probably anywhere. Outside corner, nickel corner, doesn't matter. Jack Jones, you've got four safeties that you got to feel confidence in. Now, the best player today, I think this is probably agreed upon no matter what, Oso Odighizuwa, the new addition, traded a third-round pick for him. A lot of would-be sacks. Brock said, quote, Osa is one of the most slept-on players in the league. Almost feels like he sacks me on every play, end quote. Don't like to hear that second part, but talk about left guard in our center. Those are issues. Osa just seems to be as advertised. I'm pretty excited about what he brings. I really, really am. Right here, Invader, yeah, Jack Jones covered up a force fumble. Yep, there we go. Got to get that ball. Got to get those turnovers. Ronald says it's only preseason, nothing to worry about. Man, if you've seen it for two consecutive years and the same issues, then I'm worried, right? Like, it's confirmation, negative confirmation. Player hasn't overcome these issues. If you've given up multiple touchdowns, if you've given up the most passing touchdowns in the past two seasons for the 49ers, and you're still doing the same things, that's where it's like, I don't know, man. Notorious. Fred about to become the all-time leader in forced fumbles. Ooh. I don't think I have time to look that up on the pod, but gosh, that's pretty awesome. Maria Nick Sakel continues on the Trent Taylor scholarship. Dude, they love that guy, man. They just love him. And I said he'd be back. And sure enough, he is back. More practice notes. Marquis Siegel beat on a good coverage play in the red zone. I didn't see the player that, like, this is more of the same of what we saw from last year from Marquise Siegel, where he's always where he should be. Sticky coverage, just not making the plays. He said that personally just a week ago. So, come on, man. Like, you're there. Jair Brown ain't there. Marquise Siegel's there, still not making the plays. The result's the same, so that's a negative. Now, offensively, which we didn't get a lot of 49ers offensive clips because, again, they have stacked fields, and everybody was kind of filming the Chargers offense. It was in the Chargers' home territory. Not a lot of – and they're going the same time. So the Chargers offense against the 49ers, the exact same time the opposing field, 49ers offense against Chargers defense. We got no clips there. Stribling had a pair of touchdowns in the red zone drill. One of them was a quick out. Awesome separation, toe tap catch from Brock in the corner of the end zone. The other one was a fade route, just snap, throw it, you know, kind of over the shoulder. Stribling turns around, makes the catch, not necessarily back shoulder, kind of put it on the helmet of Deshaun Stribling. Cam Inman, we got those clips from him, which is awesome. That's about the only clips I've seen that in the Kalen Black, like 5-yard run from Barrows. Outside of that, not much. Now, Brock was asked about Kalen Black and said, quote, Kalen Black looked good with that little kind of Brock Purdy little smile that he does, the aw shucks moment. That was there. Now, we talked about the Chargers, you know, kind of penalty or injuries. Just to put into perspective, dude, there's going to be bang-ups on both plays. I think there was really only one major injury today. Now, we usually find out 2 days later if there were injuries from this. Tyler Biadasz, who's not a 49ers player, I think that that's huge. I think that's huge. Now, also huge, if you go to any 49ers games this year, which, again, we have tailgates up for the 49ers season opener in Miami. We're going to be in Australia. We're going to be in Atlanta. We're going to be in Seattle. We're going to be in Dallas. We're going to be in Los Angeles and Mexico City, plus that season opener. Go get your tickets, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Oh, look at this. We got research from Michael in the chat, you stud. He says, Fred Warner has to get 35 forced fumbles to take the lead for his career. Ooh. Now, he's at 17. So, he's got to double what he's had. He's played 8 years. I don't think he's playing 16 more years. But the numbers have gone up because if you look at 2023, he had 4. 2024, he had 4. So if he averaged 4 forced fumbles, he'd have to play for another 9 years. Ah, he's got to step up the game now. Yeah, only got 1 in the playoffs so far. Yeah, he's got to get some more. And that's just me going off of Pro Football Reference. I'm not sure where Michael's getting his. So he's got to step up his game. He's got to stay healthy, play a lot. But I'm just going to say this. Fred Warner is the greatest coverage linebacker in the history of the NFL, and in my opinion, is already the greatest linebacker in 49ers history. I get the Patrick Willis love. That is a debate that I think should be had at this point. And for some people say, well, he's not quite there. That's okay. For me, the fact that he changed the position, there is linebacker before and after Fred Warner. And the forced fumble is just an addition, man. Fred's the guy, man. He's the guy. And yeah, right there. How dare you, John? Yeah, I get it. I remember when that question was starting to be asked 3 years ago, and it was like, not yet. And then 2 years ago, it was like, okay, we're getting close. Then after what he did in 2024, I'm like, okay, the conversation needs to be had. I'm just saying, man. And like, there's not a wrong here. They're that good. They're that good. Like, he's that good. The leadership, that is what sets it apart for me. The leadership and the coverage. But Patrick Willis, gosh, I still got my Patrick Willis jersey from back in the day. Got to meet Pat. Legend. And you're talking about the greatest linebacker group for franchise of any franchise. You can compare the Niners to anybody. Every single team is wanting compared to the Niners' history. Keenan Turner, Navarro Bowman, Dre Greenlaw. Ah, I love it. Right here, Notorious. Chappers, you think we pay Pooney next year? I do not. I hope they do. This is one of the ones where I'm like, gosh, I wish the 49ers would, but they never do. They just don't pay guards. They don't value the position. The Niners do not value guard or safety. Haven't since Shanahan showed up. You'd be like, yeah, but they used second round pick on, who was it? El Cerrito, Aaron Banks, who might get cut, by the way. Like, that might be your answer. I'll take Aaron Banks if he's free. He has not, when the Packers signed with that contract, I laughed. I literally laughed. And I was like, dude, good for Banks. Banks is a great dude. Not a very good football player. He's a replaceable level back end guard starter, which is better than anything the Niners have right now at left guard. I would take Aaron Banks now in his career over Connor Colby, but not by a lot. Banks has been bad. He had one healthy season, was good, been bad since then. I was shocked the Packers paid him all that, and he might get cut. Like, I would not trade for that contract. That contract is ooh. But if he gets cut and wants to sign a minimum deal and come back and play for the Niners left guard, that would be awesome. He can rebuild his career, then go sign elsewhere. Small chance. I'd probably say a 25% chance he gets cut, but you know, I don't follow the Packers. Niners have never chosen to pay a guard. They never have. They never have. I think Carver Willis, even if he wins the left guard spot, will eventually move to center. I don't know. I really don't know. I wish they valued guard and safety more and not just completely wrote off those two positions. No, right here. Would I take Banks over Pooney? God, no. No, Dominic Pooney's way better, way more consistent. Yeah, not even close. Banks was good when he was healthy, but he hasn't been healthy in his career besides that second season. He's had nothing but injuries, and if he has any type of injury, he is not good. Whenever he's healthy, he's good, but no. I want them to pay Pooney. I want them to pay Pooney. I really, really do. I don't think that they will. I hope they do. But now guard's becoming one of these highest paid positions. Guard used to be a position that just whatever. Guards are making ridiculous money now. It is no longer a cheap position. So when the Niners wouldn't even pay guard when it was one of the cheapest positions, now you got guards making $20 million a year. Not even great guards. Like, Peter Skoronski's good. He's not $20 million a year good. He's not making more than Fred Warner, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle good. No way. So, like, and I think Dominic Pooney's awesome. Would I pay Dominic Pooney $20 million a year? Probably not. I don't think that that is a good allocation of resources. Now, you look at the flip side in this roster, and it's like, man, what if Dominic Pooney is gone? What do? You going to start Robert Jones and Connor Colby? Ooh, no. Big Tone. Connor Colby has done zero. At least in his career, we were able to say Aaron Banks is pretty good. Never said that about Connor ever, never, ever. Yeah, Banks, second round pick. Connor Colby, seventh round pick. Way different expectations. I would prefer Connor Colby at his current contract than Aaron Banks, which I think he's getting like $14, $15 million a year. Like, I just don't think that that's there, right? And yeah, Notorious. O-line would take a massive hit if they lose Pooney, who's in concussion protocol right now. I want to pay Pooney. And like, I have no problem halfway through the year if you do like what you did with Colton McKivitz, like what you did with Dre Greenlaw, like what you did with D'Amador Lenore, where you say, look, we will give you generational wealth now if you sign an extension now, but it's going to be at a team discount. If you want to keep playing this year, then hit the free agent market. You're more than welcome to. But if you like the 49ers and you want to stay here, we'll give you a below market deal for 2-year extension, huge signing bonus. So like the going rate, like, I want to pull this up just so I can be accurate with my conversation. Man, I don't want to look at guard. Can I look at, let's look at contracts. I'm over on over the cap and I'm looking at left guard and right guard contracts and average per year. So some of the new deals haven't been finalized. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong one. There we go. Yeah. Peter Skoronski got $25 million a year. Tyler Smith, $24 million per year. Matthew Bergeron, $23.5 million. Trey Smith, $23.5 million. Luke Gadecki, $22.5 million. Landon Dickerson, $21 million. Like, there's 10 guards making $20 million a year. I'm not paying that. So Dominique Pooney, I'm looking at him and I'm saying, look, man, you want to test free agency? You might get paid like Banks, but your career might go like Banks. If you want to stay here, we'll pay you $16.5 million to $18.5 million a year. We'll put incentives all on that thing. Yeah, Aaron Banks got $19.25 million a year. That's stupid as shit. That was so dumb. And I like Aaron Banks as a person. I love that he got paid, but no. Man, that it might have to be more. Like, I'm talking to Pooney's agent right now saying, dude, we'll give you a two-year, $16.5 million deal. If you make Pro Bowl or All-Pro, we'll throw in $1.5 million per year. You get paid right now. Injuries, we protect you. I would do that. And again, this is where I differ from the 49ers office. Yes, I would sign Dominique Pooney. I want him to be a staple moving forward. The 49ers behavior and valuation of the guard position would say they do not. That is where I differ from what I predict and think the 49ers will do. Yeah, Invader, no way in hell they pay an OG $20 million, but there's 10 guards making that money. Is he as good as those 10? No, but he's not far off. He's not. He's been very consistent. Pay Pooney or we riot. $8 million is the highest they probably go at OG, and they haven't done that. They haven't even gone to $8 million. You look at Ben Bartsch last year, he was like a $1.2 million fully guaranteed. Robert Jones this year, like barely $2 million. John Feliciano, almost no guarantees. They do not pay that position, just like they do not pay safeties. They don't draft safeties. You draft an all pro safety in Talanoa Hufanga and you let him walk. Dude goes and gets another all pro the year you let him walk out. What's your biggest weakness right now? Could you imagine if 29 was the safety instead of 27? Can you imagine if 29 was the safety instead of 27? Can you imagine that? They don't do it. Don't expect a tiger to change its stripes. Zebra? I don't remember the way the saying goes. Yeah, Tyrone, appreciate you, man. Great content. I love it. I still think this will be good. Maybe they need to be hunt. Always need checks. The NFL will humble you. You remember the year 2023 Niners where they steamrolled the whole NFL? You still lost three games in a row in the middle of the season. Like, the NFL is a beast. 17 games is a marathon. There's even the almighty Patriots going 17-0, not winning the Super Bowl. Like, there is a humbling moment for every team in the NFL, besides, you go back to the 72 Dolphins, but they played 12 games. Like, it is different now. It is different now. It's just what it is. And so, yeah, Joel, right here. So, two new guards and a center. Yeah, it's not what you want. You want Connor Colby to step up. Carver Willis will be at a spot. I want Carver Willis to be the center moving forward long-term, right? I don't think he takes it over this year. I think he needs a lot of development. And again, like, I had an awesome question. Let me go here. This is from Brian C. on Patreon, which we're about to give away a year-long subscription on our Jerry Rice tier membership for the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. So stay tuned. If you know your Niners, first one that gets question right, free year-long. All of our bets, Zoom hangout, you name it. Every offense, defensive, special teams play broken down. So stay tuned. We're about to do that here in a few minutes. Brian C., a Patreon subscriber. Thank you so much, man. He says, loving the breakdowns as always for Carver and his terrible anchoring. That is the issue with Carver. He can't anchor against a strong bull rush. He says, curious, is there some techniques or something that can be taught by Forrester, or if you don't have it, you just don't have it, and it is what it is. Thank you. Appreciate you, Brian. Appreciate everybody that supports the show. Thank you. It can be taught. Now, the problem with Carver Willis and the anchor against the bull rush, not getting pushed back into the quarterback, which there were, I think, two or three plays in the very first preseason game where Carver Willis hit the quarterback as he was throwing because he got pushed back so far. The run plays for Carver Willis are incredible. Pass pro, really, really bad. Bad against the stunts, bad against the anchor. Now, yes, it can be taught. He doesn't have a true anchor step. So whenever an interior offensive lineman gets stood up, okay, now you have bad balance, which that's another major issue with Carver Willis. Terrible balance, gets his helmet out. He's a waist bender, not a knee bender. So he's a hip bender, which is bad. He'll literally just bend out, like, you know, way out over his feet. Think about the way, not getting political here, think about the way Donald Trump stands, where he's like leaning forward all the time. It's just bad balance, bad football position. And so then you got to lunge and just reach and grab. You've got to be able to either bend your knees or get that anchor step. That's where you do basically almost like a corner T step, where you put your foot behind you and you turn it, and you literally, it's a post step. It's an anchor step. And you basically say, this is where the, like, concave back, like, we would coach this and work on the flexibility of our linemen so that you can post up and you're just like, you have one foot behind you and you're just like doing everything you can to just be that levy that just stops them from moving forward. He doesn't do the post step. He doesn't have the flexibility yet. Now at center, that's not as important because you always have a guard helping you. So yes, it can be coached up. But guys that struggle with that through 5 years of college football, it's kind of hard to learn that and adapt to that in one NFL offseason. That is a slow growth problem. Now, you can work in the weight room and get stronger, which will help. You can work on your hand placement, because what DTs do is a forklift move where they get under your shoulder pads and then lift up. So now you've lost your leverage. You're too high. And whenever you're too high, you don't have the strength to anchor and stop them from moving you backwards. This is the Carver Willis problem. This is what we saw in the draft tape. This is what we saw in the very first preseason game. This is what we've seen all through training camp. Yes, it could get there, but Carver Willis has not developed that yet. Don't expect that to happen in 2 weeks. Don't expect that to happen in 2 months. Could it improve? Yes. Functional strength, better technique, better flexibility, better footwork. That's a lot of betters. Run game, he just drives out and moves people. He's incredible. A-plus run game, dude. Carver Willis, best run-blocking interior lineman on the roster right now, bar none. It is not even better than Dominic Pooney. Dominic Pooney's pretty damn good. Carver Willis run blocks better now than Dominic Pooney does. I believe that. Dominic Pooney had a badass anchor back at Kansas. Carver Willis did not, has not, continues to not, right? So Dominic Pooney's much more well-rounded pass pro run game. You look at Jake Brendel. He doesn't anchor well, but you don't have to as a center because you always have help. The amount of times that a center goes 1-1 in pass pro a game is probably 3-5, maybe 3-6. The amount of times a guard goes 1-1 in pass pro is probably 7-15. You see the difference there? It's a big difference. So if you can't anchor, they kick you inside even more. I don't know what the long-term issue is. I would start Connor Colby, even though I'm not loving it. He's the best on the roster. He's the best on the roster. Invader, the Carver, the Carverite. He says, go, Carver, go. Invader, I'm curious. Would you start Carver right now over everybody else at left guard, even though pass pro is what it is? I know you watch tape. I trust you. Yeah, Invader. Carver planted a dude in the turf and then stood over him like Jeremy Newber. Yes, Carver already has that dog in the run game. 1,000%, Invader. Carver's sister had a dream to get drafted by the Niners. Love it, love it, love it. I'm scrolling. I'm sorry if I miss it. He says he would. Right there. you guys in these comments, man. Here's the thing, like, here's the flip side. Let's say you roll with Carver Willis, and Kyle Shanahan seems to want to. Chris Forster does not. Chris Forster gets asked about the guard position. He's like, oh, it's two horse race. Robert Jones or Connor Colby. Robert Jones is out for me. I would not. Robert Jones is a backup at best. Hey, I'd even be talking to him about like, dude, you want to retire? Like maybe clears the rust off. But like for me, my hat's all sideways now because it's whatever. Now Niners on the Go podcast says, if that's the case, John, Carver needs to be the left guard week one. So here's the trade-off. You can run the ball. Great. Brock Purdy's going to take two extra hits a game, maybe more. You got a great quarterback in Mac Jones backup. Are you willing to risk the health of Brock? What's more important? Brock Purdy in the pass game, staying upright, or the run game? These are the questions. These are the trade-offs. This is what you got to figure out. Colby seems iffy at best, but Willis being good at the run and developing as I've not seen a pass blocker. I've not seen that. I've seen horrible. Means he could be much better. Yes, the ceiling for Willis is way better. He's a fourth round pick. Connor Colby's seventh round pick. Yes, I agree. Connor Colby's way more consistent right now, and it's not close. It's not close. Connor Colby, you're going to get 9 decent plays out of 10. Carver Willis, you're going to get 5 out of 10. Now, the 5 good plays are great plays in the run game. The 5 pass plays, like Connor Colby's worst play pass protection is better than most of Carver Willis's good plays pass protection. Does that make sense? Invader, when Forster was talking up Kobe, I knew it was kind of the kiss of death. Well, I mean, shoot, you listen to Chris Forster talk about Jake Brindell. That's there too. All right. This is fun. I love you guys. Let's give something away. Let's give a year-long subscription. This is how I feed the family. If you like the show, you like what we do, go sign up to 49ersrush.com. We've got every single offense, defense, special teams player, coaching tape, all 22 end zone footage broken down after every single game. So when the 49ers play Thursday, Friday, as soon as the film's up, I'm going to start breaking it down, which I'm super pumped. My cousin, who is a pilot in the Air Force, he's doing a mission out here Friday. So I get to spend some time with him, which I'm super psyched. So Friday film might be up a little bit later, whatever. I don't get to spend time with this dude very much. Shout out Travis. But whenever he's out here, I get to spend like half a day with him before he's got to fly back on his next mission. But anyway, we'll have all the film breakdown, every single play. That's already up from week one. Go watch it. Form your own opinions on Carver Willis, Connor Colby. Go watch the actual tape. Don't listen to us. Well, yeah, listen to us. But use that as a means of dialogue, a data point, and not the end-all be-all. Go watch it. The49ersrush.com. Plus, oh yeah, I think I talked about this earlier. We do have our annual 53-man roster prediction will be Saturday, the Zoom hangout, Saturday the 29th at 2 p.m. Pacific time. Come join us with that. That's Jerry Rice tier and above, and our bets, which we post every single week after the last preseason game, right before our flight to Australia. We'll put on our year-long bets up before the first preseason game, and then we'll do our weekly bets as well. We have posted huge profits 7 out of 8 years, so we've done really, really well. It's not like we always make it all the time. But first one to get this question right gets a year-long membership, Jerry Rice tier, to the 49ersrush.com. Now, if you are already a subscriber, this is about expanding the community. This was an anonymous gift from another supporter. So if you're already in, I'm going to ask you to abstain, okay? Don't put the answer in there, even if you know it. Don't be Bogarting memberships. This is for somebody to step in. All right, here's the question. The first one to get the chat. You only get one guess, so don't put a bunch of numbers in the chat. Your first guess is all that matters. How many first-team All-Pros did Navarro Bowman have? My second favorite player in NFL in 49ers history. How many first-team All-Pros did Navarro Bowman have? He was at the 49ers practice today. That's why I went with the Navarro Bowman question. And we're hoping to have Navarro Bowman out a few times for the 49ers Rush road trip this year. We'll see. We're trying to work it out. Not finalized yet. We're trying. Those players are not cheap. And a little kind of detail or fact about Navarro Bowman. Only 2 players, actually 3 players, have as many first-team All-Pros at the off-ball linebacker position as Navarro Bowman that are not in the Hall of Fame. Only 3. Those 3 players, Bobby Wagner, he will be in the Hall of Fame. Fred Warner will be in the Hall of Fame. And Navarro Bowman, who I think eventually will be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to have to wait a while. But the number of all pros and the winner of today, which if your answer is before this person's, my chat brings a whole bunch of channels together because we're live on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, blah, like all over the place. And so it combines all those things. So the first answer and the correct answer on my screen goes to Farscape Forever. The correct answer is Navarro Bowman had four first-team All-Pros. Absolute freaking stud. A lot of people got the correct answer. So Farscape, you got to email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. And if you ever want to email me, for whatever reason, I am here for you. I do my best to get through emails. Sometimes I'm better than other times. As this show has grown, which I am beyond thankful, harder to get to all the emails, but it's a great problem to have. I'm going to try. So Farscape, you got to email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. I'll get you set up. We got a new member last week, which is so awesome. And we're just growing. So if you didn't win, go support us. Go sign up. We have a 7-day free trial, the49ersrush.com. If you don't like it, you can cancel. Get on there, click around, watch some tape. We've got some football 101 teaching you about football specifics. We've got Zoom Hangouts, which is going to be next Saturday. We've got our bets of the year and week coming up. That is awesome. I am so thankful to have spent this time with you guys. You guys are awesome. Yeah, right there. Faithful from Burr says, congrats, Farscape. Love it, love it, love it, love it. And until next time, that's going to do it for us today. As always, stay strong, faithful. We out.